KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Glenn Lutyens joins us once again. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist. Also, he's been on the staff with Focus on the Family for over 30 years. Glenn, thanks again for taking the time to chat.
Steve, it's great to be with you.
You know, here we are up against another major holiday, which, you know, with it traditionally comes family gatherings and you know, hopefully families are planning to get together and looking forward to the time. But it also is a time for some families where, you know, friction has occurred in the past, and some families may choose to not gather because of past gatherings. And, you know, what we hope today to do is take a look at, you know, what may cause some of that friction and how to navigate it and how to get to a place where you can gather together and why that's important. Glenn, you know, it can be stressful, right, around Easter, right, or any of these holidays. You know, why are these gatherings important? And, you know, even if they do bring some of that tension.
Well, I think a big part of it is that God has created us for a relationship. I mean, even when we think of who God is, the very nature of God, three in one, and perfect harmony, perfect unity. And so relationship is a part of our DNA. We're created to connect. And flesh and blood is a very powerful part of that. Doesn't mean that people can't gather with friends, but there's something very powerful about connecting with people. And especially, I would say, we're talking about celebrating the 3 days that were probably most central in all of creation, in all of history, that these 3 days, Christ, death on the cross, resurrection from the grave, really is what has been our rescue mission that God has sent for us.
Yeah, you know, and I love, Glenn, that you went right to how God operates in relationships, and you went to the Trinity. You know, when you were going there, the first thing that came to mind for me, and I love that you went to the Trinity, excuse me, but thinking back to, you know, God and man, you know, God in creation, early creation, you know, daily was walking with Adam in the garden. Mm-hmm. It really hits home when you mention, Glenn, that God is a God that is active in relationships, and as image bearers, we should, you know, do likewise. Right. As we do gather, Glenn, often it's, it's topics sometimes that are discussed when family gathers that may cause some of this friction. Are, you know, we've heard the, you know, the typical get around the table. All right. No politics or religion, but, you know, are those off limits, or are there other areas that should be off limits?
It's hard pressed to say one thing for everyone, because each family is going to be different. I'm not super big on the idea of saying, okay, we can't talk about this, because I think in one sense, that's the problem. One of the problems that we encounter in our society today, that we can't disagree in a non-disagreeable way. And I think we need to learn how to do that. So let's say if last Christmas, or there was another family event that took place, and there was an argument that took place over politics or spiritual matters. I don't think it's inappropriate in that setting to either develop some parameters to that, or to know how we're going to approach it if it does occur, or just, again, there can be situations where, you know, let's maybe stay focused on some things that bind us together. So I think that could happen. But I really think there's value in being able face-to-face, which nowadays is not often all that common because of screens and how we approach that. Because it's very easy to type out something on a screen that is critical or harsh, when we're face to face, hopefully it's a little bit more congenial as far as how we're relating to each other. But if we can learn how to disagree in a way that we're still agreeable with the other person, I think that's a great art that has kind of been missing or has at least been negatively impacted in the last several years.
Yeah, keyboard courage, right? It's so easy, right. So easy to do when we're not face to face. And you know, I would imagine, you know, I even think for myself, because you know, this is a thing, you know, we're from a large family, and you know, there's ideologically, I know that you know, my beliefs don't necessarily line up exactly with everyone else in the family. And, you know, I think part of what I do is purpose to think of the kind things that I can say to bridge some of those gaps and build relationship that we talked about early on in our conversation. And not only thinking about how we can successfully be image bearers of God heading into these times, but preemptively also maybe communicating with those that will be in attendance. Is there some wisdom in communicating, you know, any of these things ahead of time with those that'll be at the gathering?
Yeah, I'd say especially if there's been a history of tension and difficulty, you know, then, you know, people can give voice to that. I there's a kind of a tool that I sometimes suggest that families and friends may use with each other when, let's say, there's a topic that they have strong disagreements about. And, you know, let's say if, you know, the last time they gathered together as a family, you know, it was one of those tense times and there was an argument that took place. You know, if it is a situation where we're going to limit it or ask that, you know, maybe this topic is not going to be talked about today, I sometimes encourage people to maybe explore the idea of saying, hey, I know we see this differently and, you know, we're coming from different vantage points on this. Would you be open to sharing with me a resource that you have found to be helpful and that maybe explains your perspective? I'd like to maybe able to share with you something that maybe explains where I'm coming from on this. And even if we can't talk about it, because, you know, it may have some emotions to it, at least we can better understand each other. Would you be open to that? So something like that could be done even prior to the gathering together. Now, if a person is more of just of the ilk that they want to create some tension, which can happen, a lot of times it's not, but it can happen certainly, a person's going to be less inclined to accept that offer. Because they may not even have a resource that describes where they're coming from on something. And they may not be interested in looking at something that we'd like to share with them. But at least it would point out our willingness. It's not like we're trying to keep things from ever being communicated together. But it just sets a parameter to it. But I think, and sometimes if it can just be, I mean, if there's been a minor tension in the past, I think it could be where we say, we're not trying to limit the topics that that you talk about, but would you be open to, you know, if you do talk about something, first off, that it's not, you know, a long drawn out, you know, 35 minute conversation, but that, you know, you share your thought, you share your idea, but we're going to be trying to really make it a respectful situation, would you be open to that? And I think most people at least will say it, even if they may not be inclined to do it. So if, let's say, there's something that beforehand there's been some conversation about it, some preliminary conversation, if a person does basically violate what they've shared, you know, what they've agreed to, then I think you can kind of pull those parameters and really have those boundaries in a lot stronger position, you know. And a person could just simply say, you know, prior to us getting together, we did talk about really communicating respectfully to each other, and maybe this is not the time or place for us to continue this conversation. But yeah. having, and I think you kind of indicated this earlier, Steve, having some topics that you know are constructive, that are building together and supportive together, having some of those readily available. So even if somebody says something that's a little bit, it's not, you know, it's kind of just starting to step over that line a little bit, another person could validate the fact that this is what you think or this is what you feel, but then pretty in, you know, maybe the next sentence or two, shift the conversation to an area that is not a tension or conflict issue.
Yeah. And, you know, as we walk through that, I'm thinking, you know, in addition to that, maybe to the person who maybe, you know, seems to be bent on creating some contentious scene, to offer, you know, to, like you said, hey, you know, just a reminder, you know, there are some things we ahead of time said we're going to avoid. I think this this matches that. However, I would welcome a conversation like this at maybe a more appropriate time. You know, maybe you and I can sit and find a time where we can go have some coffee and walk through this together.
Right.
To not, you know, totally shut them down. Because everyone wants to speak their piece.
Right.
We know that. And that may be one thing to consider, you know, approaching the gathering. Mm-hmm. You know, and as we talk through this as well, Glenn, one of the things in my mind that keeps coming back up is not being so concerned about what they are going to do, but what am I going to do? And preparing for... you know, a more stress-free time. Can you speak to that a little bit?
No, I think that's a really important thing, because if people are living in fear of, oh no, what happens if Christmas repeats itself or whenever, they're not going to be relaxed. They're not going to be comfortable. And if we have a few things as far as what we're going to do, how we're going to approach it, if it gets really tense, you know, sometimes, you know, as you and I were just talking about, as you mentioned, offering another time for us to get together. So it's not avoidance. It's not like we can't discuss this, but really when is going to be that most appropriate time? And if a person is there looking for an argument that, you know, and they want an audience, they may be less inclined to sit down one-on-one. But hopefully they will, and it may give us an opportunity to share some perspective or things of a spiritual nature with someone who maybe hasn't been inclined to be open before. But I think that awareness of how I'm going to handle the situation, have some things prepared. I mean, I think we do need to ultimately lean on the Holy Spirit and say, okay, God, you know, I'm prepared. I have a couple of topics that we can go to if it does arise, but I'm not going to live in fear of, oh no, you know, who's the next person talking? Are they going to be contentious about this? I want to relax and enjoy our time together.
Yeah. Now, Glenn, here, I'm going to bring this up because it happens. I'm going to guess most of us have been there when, especially in large family gatherings, where someone finally, you know, kind of slams their hand down or stands up abruptly and dismisses themselves from the gathering. They leave. You know, is that ever appropriate? Not the hand slamming, but the leaving, and, you know, other options that I think in my head are, you know, well, usually there's several rooms and people gathering in different ones. And if it's getting to that place, maybe, politely, casually, covertly, remove yourself, from a potential blow up.
And that could even be expressed in, let's say, if there is some preliminary communication, you know, if you feel like, hey, you're just starting to feel it and you need to step out of the room, certainly feel free to do that. I'm not saying that you have to leave or whatever, but if you're sensing it, sometimes that can be a good way of just kind of getting, you know, thinking through, okay, what am I upset about? What am I feeling? When have I felt this way before? So that can be a helpful thing. Now, it kind of it causes me to think, Steve, about a situation where, let's say, somebody does get up and leaves. Now the question becomes, what do the others do?
Yeah.
Do they pursue? And I would say that all depends. I mean, it could be a situation which is kind of out of the ordinary, and a person has gone maybe into another room. And so somebody could, I think, approach the person, you know, respectfully, hey, you know, do you want to talk? And just kind of in that one-on-one way. But if it becomes a pattern for a person, if a person has their kind of emotional demand of, if you care about me, you know, if you're really a good sister or brother or mom or dad or son or daughter, you know, you're going to come after me. And if you don't, you don't care about me. I mean, that becomes then a trap where a person is likely to, quote, need to fill that role time and time and time again. So I think that can be a trap. I mean, a person who maybe is prone to do that, if it's already taken place, and, you know, a person can say, I'm going to let you, if you need to step out, you can do that. That's fine. But I'm not going to come, you know, when you're in a good place, you want to come back, feel free to do that. Yeah. So it's not controlling that person, but it's not catering to their emotional dysfunction that may be showing itself.
Last thing when considering, you know, engagement, is if you're going, you know, if you're going to get to some areas that, you know, I don't know, you may feel really, really led. I really need to take this opportunity, before speaking, and I'm sure we could find scripture to back this up. Consider the why am I about to say this? What is the end goal I have in saying this? And I think doing so will probably create somewhat of a heart check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're right. You know, what's going on inside me? What's my motivation? And I think that why is also an important question. Not that I'm suggesting people ask another individual this, but it's also important to ask ourselves, why might, if another individual is prone towards argument and, you know, they want to stir the pot, so to speak, emotionally, what might be the reason that is something that they're doing? Is it for a level of control? Is it that they feel uncomfortable? Is it because maybe there's some underlying anger? Now, I'm not saying we're going to be experts at knowing what's going on in their hearts, but if we have an understanding of what might be an emotional motivation for this individual, I think it can give us a greater level of compassion. It may not change how we approach it. Hopefully we're going to approach it in a constructive way and a respectful way, but it may just help us approach that in a little bit more of a gentle way when we recognize that, yeah, there probably are some reasons that this person is approaching it. But again, we're not going to use that as an excuse. We're still going to take responsibility for just the overall level of emotional connection. Obviously, we're not responsible for every word that somebody else says or shares. But if there's a scenario that's really going off the rails, and if it's our home, we have the opportunity to speak into that because it is our home and we can communicate in a constructive way.
Well, Glenn, kind of tying it all together, putting a bow on this, what in the process of these gatherings can we really learn about ourselves?
I think a lot can be understood as far as, am I an individual who's wanting to stir the pot myself? Am I an individual who really tries to avoid conflict at all cost? Am I okay with the fact that there may be people who don't see things eye to eye? Some of that can be more of a family system perspective. I mean, there's some families where, you know, they'll have a discussion and, you know, they're, for all intents and purposes, arguing with each other, but they're not taking it personally. They're not seeing it as a problem. There may be refining their perspective on it, and they're willing to learn from each other, but it's kind of that, you know, almost the Inklings, the C.S. Lewis with J.R.R. Tolkien, where they would discuss things and, you know, they didn't see eye to eye on things, but they were respectful. And then others where even if there's someone who says, you know, I see that from a different vantage point, you know, that's, oh no, you know, oh no, we're not seeing things eye to eye. So we can learn a lot in that regard from one another as far as how we approach that situation. And I think that's where balance comes into play. If there's a scenario where it's becoming really contentious, even if a person might say, hey, I'm fine with that, other guests may not be. And am I willing to maybe not necessarily say we have to change the topic, but at least raise a question of, can we approach this, you know, in a way where we're all feeling maybe heard and understood? If a person is totally avoidant of any disagreement together, are there some ways of becoming more comfortable with the fact that we're all entitled to see something from the perspective we have? It doesn't mean we're right. We can be totally wrong on something, but each person does have the freedom. And that's one of the reasons why when things may sometimes start to be a bit contentious, just the response of, you know, I think that's an area that you and I see differently, can just be a respectful way of pointing out that, yes, you're entitled to your perspective, your opinion, your belief on that, and I'm entitled to mine. And it's kind of, it's a phrase that doesn't go anywhere in a good way, if you know what I mean. It doesn't engender more conversation about it. So in one sense, it's a conversation stopper, but it's still respectful, and it simply acknowledges that we may see things from a different vantage point.
Oh, some great insight. And Glenn, any final thoughts and or resources?
People can come to focusonthefamily.com and just a variety and of resources on the family, spiritual things. If they would like to speak with a counselor, an initial consultation, we would be happy to do that. They can give us a call at 1-800, the letter A, and then family, 1-800-A-FAMILY. And we will need to get back with them, typically within 48 hours with regards to our call volume. But we would love to speak with people on any number of topics, marriage, parenting, people struggling with anxiety or depression. We're more than happy to just come alongside them, maybe give them some names, some next steps that they can take as they move forward and get some help.
Very good. Well, Glenn Lutyens has been our guest, licensed marriage and family therapist. He's also been on staff with Focus on the Family for over 30 years. Glenn, as always, appreciate the insight and always look forward to our conversations. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, Steve, great to be with you, and have a happy Easter.
Likewise. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.